Life after the blockade. What will it be like? Welcome to this special analysis report. I'm Mike Adams, and you can follow my work at naturalnews.com or my videos and interviews at brightvideos.com. Now, we are very fortunate that the world has a certain amount of a buffer of oil in reserves and petrochemicals and natural gas, etc. It is a certain amount. It's actually a few months of reserves, but it's not unlimited, and it's not even a few months in some countries. Now, China has very large reserves. The U.S. has its own domestic supply, but not enough to last forever because we actually consume more oil than we produce domestically. But a lot of Asian nations like South Korea and Taiwan and Japan, of course, are very heavily dependent on energy inputs. But it's not just the energy. It's also, and this is what impacts us in the United States, it's also the petrochemical products like lubricants. It's sulfuric acid. It's polymers, polyethylene. It's the feedstock chemicals that create tens of thousands of different chemical products all over the world through a variety of mechanisms, and it's also the fertilizer and the ammonia and the urea, etc. We don't have an unlimited supply of these things, obviously. There are no strategic supplies of stored fertilizer, for example, anywhere in North America. So when we're out of fertilizer, we're just out. The oil supplies will run out. And according to current projections, the oil that currently exists above ground will run out somewhere around mid-June. So we have between now and mid-June to try to figure out, you know, some kind of mechanism to get the world running again. And even then, there's going to be a supply chain collapse in the short run. For every week that the Strait of Hormuz has been closed, well, that's 1 week of no supply coming in on the ships. And it's been closed now for roughly, I think, going on about maybe 6 weeks or so, something like that. So in the best case scenario, right now, we're going to have a 6 week, they call it like an air bubble in the tube, you know, in the supply chain, there's an air bubble. We can survive that. That's not the end of the world. That's not Mad Max. But if this continues, and it looks like it's going to continue at the moment, because Trump isn't willing to back off, and Iran, of course, this is an existential threat to Iran, so Iran has really no choice but to continue to assert its control over the Strait of Hormuz as its number one bargaining chip in all of this, just for its very survival. So as a result of those two things, it looks like this is going to continue for many months to come. And the pain is going to start getting seriously inflicted within about 2 weeks. And it's going to get worse for every week after that. Imagine you need your oil changed on your car and you go to the oil change place or wherever you go. And they say, well, we don't have any more oil because, well, you know, the war with Iran, there are no more lubricants available. You're like, what? What do you mean, no more lubricants? They say, we'll have to wait for the strait to open back up, and then 6 weeks after that, maybe we'll get some supply, but we have no engine oil. Well, what does that do to transportation? What does that do to food prices? Think about it. What does that do to the economy, the productivity? It creates a depression in the economy if you don't have lubricants. Just that one category going offline creates massive problems across the entire infrastructure that powers modern economies. Without lubricants, you just can't function. But that's just one category. Maybe your tires need to be replaced, so you take your car to a tire shop and you say, hey, can I get some new tires? And they say, well, we don't have any new tires. Why? Well, because, you know, tires are made by vulcanizing rubber. And you're like, yeah, well, rubber doesn't come out of the Persian Gulf. No, but vulcanizing rubber requires sulfur, and sulfur comes out of the Persian Gulf, so nobody can make tires anymore. Whoa. Because, you know, rubber that comes out of the rubber trees, it's liquid, right? You know that. It's a liquid latex. You can't drive on liquid. You have to turn it into a solid. And that's called vulcanization, and that uses sulfur bubbled through the latex. Yeah, so no tires. So you have no oil and no tires. Already not good. And then your shoes are wearing out, and you go to the store because you want to buy some new shoes. And, there are no more new shoes. Why? Well, all the polymers don't exist anymore. The textiles are all shut down. The manufacturers are shut down. Like, wait a second. What about, I need an air filter for the engine of my farm tractor. Oh, we don't have any more air filters. Why? What happened? Well, the manufacturing plant got shut down because there's no natural gas to power the plant. Oh, so there's no air filters. Yeah, so you're going to have to make do with the air filter you have, which, of course, has a limited life. So, as you can see, things just start to shut down in a domino effect. You started with everything functioning, and then you end up with nothing functioning, or almost nothing. That's where this is actually headed. And it's just week after week, things are going to get much worse. So right now, we're living in the very last phase of the easy buffer time. And this is what has enabled the MAGA morons to claim victory. Oh, we're winning. Everything's winning. Look, oil prices are low because they're manipulated. I can still buy gas, yeah, for the moment. I can still change the oil on my engine, yeah, for now, because we're using up the supplies. That won't last very long. Before long, it's going to hit hard. It's not just a global depression. We're talking about an end of the very structure of civilization as we know it. That is, the food supplies that feed 8 billion people. That amount of food will no longer be possible to produce without the fertilizers that depend heavily on what comes out of the Persian Gulf, which is now double blocked. Blocked first by Iran and then blocked a second time now by Trump. So one by one, these supply chains are going to collapse. And each one is going to cause a series of cascading emergencies across the economy. And as that happens, people are going to learn some very, very difficult and costly lessons in areas that they never wanted to know about. Areas like, you know, supply chain dependencies and how much manufacturing requires all these complex independent producers. For example, to make a car. To make a car, you need thousands of suppliers. And if any one of those suppliers goes offline, you can't finish the car. We saw this during COVID when there were certain parts that weren't able to be manufactured because those manufacturers were shut down and major car companies were shipping cars without things like working speedometer dashboards. They would temporarily install like an analog speedometer to comply with, you know, federal law, but the actual circuit boards for the electronic dashboard, they were backlogged for months. So some of these companies, and I don't remember which brands it was, but some of them were luxury brands. They would say, okay, you buy the car today, and then you're going to bring it back in 6 months when we have the parts, and then we'll install those for you at no extra charge. But there are some parts where you can't even sell the car. Lots of parts like that. Like, you know, the fuel injectors, parts on the engine, lubricants, like we already talked about, or tires for that matter, or batteries. There are lots of parts where you can't sell the car. So that's going to start happening. And then if you can't make cars, how are you going to make airplanes? How are you going to make agricultural equipment? How are you going to make transport trucks? How are you going to make barges and tankers and ships? And the answer is you're not. You're not going to make any of that stuff. Because the infrastructure doesn't exist outside of the Persian Gulf to meet the demand that the Persian Gulf has been able to supply for several decades now. You know, the gas production really ramped up in the 1990s there in Qatar. And since then, the world has come to depend on that gas. Depends on that gas for fertilizer and so much more, and the power grid in many countries. So if you take Qatar offline, which is exactly what has happened, there doesn't exist an instant replacement of gas somewhere else in the world. Like right now, all these MAGA morons are seemingly bragging and saying, well, all the tankers are coming to the U.S. to fill up in America. They're going to get all their gas and oil from us. Winning, winning, they say. And then they show a marine traffic image of tankers in the Gulf of Mexico, as if there have never before been tankers in the Gulf of Mexico. It's just retarded, right? It's retarded on every level. The fact is, the U.S. doesn't have enough oil or gas. I mean, the U.S. doesn't even have enough oil for itself. That's why we import oil. And the U.S. doesn't have enough natural gas to supply the whole world. Yeah, we do have excess gas. We can export some amount of gas, but not enough to make up for Qatar. Not even close. Not even close. So we're talking about then a reconfiguration of the world where these hydrocarbons and the byproducts of them, such as polymers, will not be available at any price for years to come, at any price. So this isn't a simple supply-demand curve where, you know, the price goes up and then more manufacturers come online or more suppliers come online instantly and fill the gap because price discovery is the signal that producers watch in order to bring their production online. Yeah, that works great in college textbooks and academic theory. It doesn't work in reality because it takes years, years and billions of dollars to build natural gas gasification plants. You have to filter the gas, you have to purify it, you have to liquefy it, then you have to load it onto tankers. So you have to build these giant berths, these ports that are deep water ports where the ships can fit in, and then you have to have the whole mechanism of how to fill the ships. And this entire process, just to build it, takes years and billions of dollars, and some of the components, such as the liquefier component, whatever it's called, I forgot the exact term for it, but that's only made by one company in the world, and that company has a multi-year backlog. So, folks, you know, people who think everything's just going to come back online are living in a fantasy land. So you and I should be prepared for years of disrupted supply chains. Years. Which means getting ready now while we have roughly maybe a 2-month window before things get far worse. So get what you can now, if you're able to. I buy excess engine oil for diesel engines. I have extra fuel, you know, I buy diesel fuel, I buy spare parts, you know how I live, I buy extra shoes, you know, just for this very reason, because things are going to go offline, but plan on being very self-reliant without a choice in the matter for years to come. And if you want to stock up on food, of course, you can support our online store, healthrangerstore.com. We've got lab-tested, certified organic, long-term storable food. Again, all organic. And it's in the formats that you want. It's in the mega bucket format, you know. It's in the formats that you need. It's long-term storable. It's in number 10 cans that are stainless steel, that are sealed, that are practically rodent-proof, you know. You can get all this at healthrangerstore.com, and you'll also help support this platform. So thank you for your support. Get ready. Difficult times are coming. You definitely want to be prepared. Thanks for listening.
Protein is an essential nutrient that you need for optimal health. Boost your intake of high-quality protein with our selection of lab-verified protein powders for optimal health. Shop at healthrangerstore.com.